Hello, I'm Bob Papa. Welcome to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. Giants First and 10 is taped every Thursday afternoon. After our taping, the Giants announced that they had a new general manager. Dave Gettleman comes home after 4 years with the Carolina Panthers, three division championships, and an NFC championship, with the Panthers appearing in Super Bowl 50. Gettleman spent 1998 to 2012 with the Giants, and in that span, in 13 years, he was the head of pro personnel, part of three teams that went to the Super Bowl in 2000, 2007, and 2011. Gettleman brings a keen eye for personnel, and it's great to have Dave Gettleman back in the Giants family. Now we want you to sit back and enjoy this edition of Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. And we welcome you to another edition of Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks. The Giants wrap up their season against the Washington Redskins, 1 o'clock MetLife Stadium. We're going to break it down for you, the top 10 things you need to know about the Giants and Skins. I got my Hall of Famer, Harry Carson, by my side, Super Bowl champion Carl Banks, and Super Bowl champion Howard Cross. Let's take a look at the menu and tell you what's coming up here on the program. We will be joined in studio by Giants interim head coach Steve Spagnuolo. Carl Banks goes to the coach's tape with strategy. We'll head to the Giants locker room, and we'll hear from Snacks. We'll be joined in our player spotlight by quarterback Eli Manning. And also on the program, we're going to look at one of the key moments from the 2007 season, the goal line stand. You don't want to miss that. But as always, item number one goes up on the board. We call this no huddle. 25 seconds go on the clock. We're going to change things up a little bit here today. Instead of starting with Harry, we're going to start with Mr. Banks.
We must have went to the sub package.
check.
This is where you are. Look, it's the last game of the season. I know the day after Christmas is Boxing Day, but Boxing Day comes after the last game of the season in the NFL. So give it your best effort. Go out, have fun, and try to beat a division rival.
Yeah, I have an opportunity to do that. The Giants have never gone winless in the division or winless in the conference. Right now they're looking for that first win in either category. Howard, 25 seconds on the clock for you. Bright future.
Guys, this is not about the football team anymore or the players or the coaches or anything. This is more about the fans. Guys, you got a bright future. A lot of changes we know are going to happen in the next year. A lot of players are going to switch teams. A lot of coaches may be gone and new management. So there's a bright future for the Giants. Look forward to what's coming up. Don't worry about what happened because you can't do anything about it.
All right, I feel like we need a drum roll here because we shifted the order. So the captain wants to talk about the Legacy Club.
You know, I've been a part of the Giant organization for a long time. Never have I thought that we would be in a situation where you only win two games during the football season. And, you know, when I look at many of these players, to me, they have no concept of what being a Giant is all about, what Giant pride is all about. So I would just want to encourage every player at some point, go over to the Legacy Club and take a look at the rich history of the Giants, the players who have played this game, the legacy that they've left in the hands of these players who, for right or wrong, you know, a lot of injuries this year, but take a look at what you're playing for. This organization is a great organization, and I think many of these players, like a Landon Collins, you know, they understand it. There are some who really don't get it.
Yeah, and obviously the Eli Apple story developing this week, he was suspended. I don't think there's anything left to be said about it other than maybe it could have happened earlier. But other than that, they had to make some kind of move, didn't they? If Eli Manning can run the scout team as a future Hall of Famer, it means anybody should accept that if
sure.
That's what they're asked
and
to do.
It's part of being on a team. And I think the issue here is being accountable to your teammates.
Yeah.
And when you become that guy who's not accountable to your teammates and you become indifferent, things change. And, you know, I hate to talk about the time of when I played, But
we all do.
Yeah. But, you know, there was a time where you could self-correct that and it not make it to social media. Those days are gone, so a suspension was definitely appropriate.
You know, if you played a game of football, at some point you're going to be asked to do something that you might not necessarily want to do. You know, when I came to the Giants, I never played middle linebacker, but they asked me to play. I'm like, they're wasting me because I would have been a better defensive end. But I played middle linebacker. And, you know, where did we go from there? You know, I was able to play for an extended period of time. Had it not been for me, you know, rearing up and saying, you know, if I had just said, I don't want to play, I would have been home a long time ago and Harry Carson would not be sitting here. So we've all been asked to do something that we didn't like, but that's about being a good teammate. You do what you have to do to help the team.
I think what it is, it's a lesson for a lot of kids that are watching and if they're paying attention. Football is the greatest team sport there is. Everything that happens in an organization, whether it's pro, college, high school, peewee ball, everybody is being counted on to do something and you're needed. If a player doesn't want to participate, then he usually just leaves the team. In this case, they're paying him. You can't do much about it. But for everybody else, everybody's working together to make it happen. It's the greatest team sport. I tell people all the time, there's no organization that runs like a football team because everybody in the building is focused on the same thing. We got to find a way to win.
All right, so it's time to put item number two up on the board. Last licks. This is a last opportunity. And there's going to be a lot of guys playing in this game against Washington that are probably even surprised that they're playing in an NFL game just because of the injuries.
Yeah.
But this is an opportunity for some guys to earn a contract, if not here, somewhere next year.
Well, it's an opportunity to get on film and just to, you know, if you don't have a future here with the New York Football Giants, you can get on film and go someplace else. Just go out and have some fun. It's an NFL football game. It's the last game. There is no tomorrow. Don't worry about next week. Just go out, lay it on the line, and just have a good time.
You want somebody to be able to see enough about you and see enough on film of you so they can say, like, hey, look, we got to bring that guy into camp. He made some plays at the end of the year.
Yeah, Brandon Dixon is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. He was sitting at home. He's got an opportunity to put some good stuff out on tape. Let's take a look at Giants programming throughout the course of this weekend. Giants First and 10 debuts each and every Friday night. Two airings on Friday and then three more on Saturday. Giants Access Blue on My9 Saturday night at 11 p.m. You don't want to miss Giants Chronicle Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on MSG. It's a look behind the championship, the stories that happened behind the Super Bowl 42 championship Giants and some of the cool things that happened during the course of that season. Then Giants First and 10, and then make sure you join us for Giants Post Game Live presented by Mercedes-Benz. We're going to take a timeout when we come back. The interim head coach of the Giants, Steve Spagnuolo, joins us as we continue with Giants First and 10 presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks. Welcome back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. It is time to put item number three on the board. As always, we're joined by the head coach of the Giants, Steve Spagnuolo, and 1 o'clock game against Washington to wrap things up. What's the message been to your team going into this last game?
Well, we've talked a lot during this whole stretch about chasing the feeling of what it's like to be in an NFL locker room after a win. That's the feeling we're chasing. And we get one more opportunity to do that. It's against Washington. Put the work in, and hopefully we can succeed this week.
Coach, it's been an ever-evolving season.
Yeah.
And here you are now, and look, nobody feels sorry for you when you look at the injury report.
Not in this league.
All the familiar faces are on IR, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you got to play the cards you dealt. What's the approach when you have, you know, new guys? Obviously, you got to keep it simple.
Yeah.
But it
yeah.
comes down to, like, just football stuff now. Just go make tackles.
No
right?
question. I mean, we've been talking for a number of weeks about being brilliant at the basics, and we do talk about it all the time. I mean, on defense, it's the feet and blocks and tackling. I mean, if you don't begin there, all the other stuff isn't going to matter. And we have trimmed things down, and that's the right thing to do in the situation we're in right now. And I got to credit the guys that have been in here that come in every day. They put in the work. They go out there and work on the field. We're down in some numbers, and some guys are doing scout team that are going to play in the game, and I'm just trying to make sure everybody's legs are fresh to play the game on Sunday, but the effort has been terrific.
Yeah, I mean, across the board, whether it's offensively, defensively, a lot of new pieces. Then you study Washington.
Yeah.
Carl's going to get into it a little bit more in strategy, but Kirk Cousins has been able to elevate his game this year. What makes him so effective?
I'll tell you what, I got a great deal of respect for Kirk Cousins. He's another one of those quarterbacks that when you put the tape on, you know that he's managing the whole game. And by that I mean he's orchestrating it. He can get their team in and out of a bad play. So you're always on the back end. You're always kind of chasing it. I feel like that as a defensive coordinator and making a call. You know, and in trying to keep it simple and trim it down, it might make it easier on him to get his football team into certain plays. But we just got to rely on some execution, some relentless play. But he does still have his weapons. I was hoping they were a little banged up too, but that didn't happen.
Now, and then you are on offense. Obviously, you're down even more weapons. You've got number 10, who's always a weapon, though.
Yeah.
What would be the key for this offense this week? Obviously, I'm sorry, I'm not even letting you answer, but receivers have got to catch footballs. Blockers have got to block. Mm-hmm. Runners have got to run. But is there any...
No, I don't think there's any secrets. Look, we're talking in terms of getting a bunch of first downs. I mean, let's not worry. Explosive plays are huge in this league when you give them up and when you get them. But if we're smart and understand the value of a 4-yard run, a 5-yard completion, get some yak yardage, keep the chains moving, keep the defense off of the field, punt the football really good, right? Play good defense, and play the situation of football well. One of the things we talked a lot about during the week was we need to win on both sides of the ball third down. Mm. You know, we were good on defense last week, and we weren't good on offense. It was the other way around the week before. So as a team, if we play well on third down, I think that'll help us tremendously. Our offense keeps the football, and we get them off the field.
Yeah, and then you got to deal with Ryan Kerrigan this week.
Yeah, he's another Where's Waldo. Know where 91 is all the time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He's a fantastic player. He started 111 straight games.
Yeah, that's impressive.
What makes him so good in your eyes?
You know, he's long. I remember when he came out and he was talented. He's a Purdue guy, and I think he played linebacker and down, and he had to play a number of positions. But he has found a home there in Washington and where they put him. He's terrific at coming off the edge. What I think he's really good at is he can come off the edge and sit himself down real quick when there's a running play. So he's not just screaming up the field and getting kicked out and creating explosive runs. But quality football player that plays really, really smart. He's been doing it for a long time.
Spags, we appreciate the time. I know it's been a tough stretch for you here.
Yeah.
But we appreciate all that you've done and sitting in here every week with us.
No, thank you guys, too. I appreciate
it. Thanks, Coach.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Steve Spagnuolo joining us here on the program. So we talked about some of the things that the Redskins do well. Time to break it down as we put the next item up on the board. Item number 4, Carl Banks with strategy.
The Washington Redskins defense revolves around the energy and effort of number 91, Ryan Kerrigan. No play is ever over, and he's never blocked until the ball is out of the quarterback's hands or beyond the line of scrimmage. On a pass rush, he just takes and overpowers the tackle, gets rid of him, makes the sack. Just effort. He's known for his effort. Now he's on the other side of the line of scrimmage, and you'll see he just outworks the tackle on the other side. You've got to give help. Look at that. Just continues to work. The coverage is good. He makes the sack. Offensively, the run game, which can be very, very physical with the efforts of P. Ryan here, he's an inside runner first to outside. You'll see physical through the line of scrimmage, not blazing speed, but a physical runner who can elude and break tackles. That's an inside run that goes outside. He does have enough speed to get to the edge. You see him outrun a linebacker to the sideline, then it's physical at the end of the play.
That was Strategy with Carl Banks, brought to you by PSE&G. We make things work for you. Let's take a look at Giants First and 10 programming throughout the course of the weekend on the MSG networks. It will air 2 times on Friday with 3 airings on Saturday and a final airing Sunday morning at 10:30. On MSG. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll take you inside the Giants locker room with Paul Dottino. He catches up with snacks as we continue with Giants First and 10 presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks.
How you doing? Nice to meet you.
Just coming from a single parent household and to give back just always remind me of my childhood.
I didn't do what I do. Nah, I'm just playing. I ain't that advanced.
I always told myself if I get in a position, you know, I want to be able to help guys. So I always want to be relevant and have my face known in the community.
Hey, there we go.
Welcome back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. Time to put item number 5 up on the board. We take you inside the Giants locker room with Paul Dottino. Paul had a chance to visit with Snacks.
Snacks, one game left in the season. You got a sack and a half, and one of the things you talked about in the offseason was to get more sacks. But I did check a career-high 10 quarterback hurries this year, which is like double what you've ever had in another season. Mm-hmm. So you were getting close a lot of times.
Yeah. I've been doing a good job taking advantage of the opportunities that's been presented to me. But here lately I've been getting some opportunities on third down, which I've been able to provide some pressure, you know, some push up the middle.
How much are you aware of the respect that other people give you for your stats, not necessarily the Pro Bowl voting, but you had 71 tackles with one game left, which leads all defensive linemen in the league. But my more impressive number for you, 0 missed tackles, no broken tackles. How do you do that?
Strong hands, man. And my defensive ends and everybody do a good job of constricting the space, and I don't have a lot of space to be able to, you know, maneuver. And it's challenging when it's a lot of space.
The one thing I know you will remember from this season was the pick against Kansas City, your first career interception. I got a hunch that's going to be running on a loop in your living room for a lot of years.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be on the highlight reel, man. I want to start any highlight tape with me off of the interception, showing my athleticism, my ability to be able to locate the ball and, you know, look the ball in.
Tell me one thing about when Spags came to you and asked you to be the co-captain when Casillas went down to IR. We've talked about how humble and how modest you are. But in the last several weeks, as you have been that co-captain, has anything changed for you? Have any people in this locker room looked at you differently?
I wouldn't say they look at me differently because, as everybody said before, they always looked at me as if I was one of the captains. But now, you know, people are talking to me a whole lot more now. Just trying to use me as an outlet, whether it be, you know, a teammate or through a coach or something. So that's about the only difference. Other than that, it's the same thing.
Final question about the Redskins. Guy like P. Ryan's a tough, grinded-out kind of guy. Do you have more fun going against those kinds of guys than the scat backs?
Yeah, because I know they want to run the ball up the middle, and I'm always that way.
Snacks, who did not make the Pro Bowl last year or this year, but was an All-Pro last year, having another good season. And Paul Dottino now joins us here in the studio. And I know he really wants to get to the Pro Bowl, but he is highly respected by the people that matter most, his peers.
No doubt, Bob. And I think anybody who watches him play in and play out has a great deal of regard for Snacks because he's one of those real lunch pail guys. Now, Carl, he's been a key to me, at least, and the Giants having a pretty good red zone defense this year. That's one thing that's actually worked pretty well. Opponents are only getting positive yardage on 38% of their offensive snaps in the red zone against the Giants. That's the fourth best defensive number in the league. And I really think he's a big reason why.
Well, absolutely, because the space is restricted in terms of the distance you can throw the ball. So teams want to try to run the ball. They want to try to create some play-action looks. And he's been a key to that, like you said, and getting good run stops, but also getting pressure up the middle on play-action passes.
Man, kid's a veteran, man. He plays hard week in and week out. I've seen him out there ankle wrapped, elbow wrapped, everything wrapped. But in regards to his actual play, pressure up the middle is the worst thing for a quarterback in any situation. It's the worst thing for the running game. Him having pressure up the middle every play makes him more valuable than people even know.
Now, you know, you're talking about quarterbacks and Kirk Cousins of the Redskins. They'll be facing him this week, and everybody knows the guy's got a rocket of an arm. But when the Giants played Washington earlier this year, Howard, it wasn't Cousins that really beat him. It was Samaje Perine. That rookie running back at Oklahoma had 3 yards rushing in the first half, 97 in the second half on only 19 carries, one of 4 backs this year to get 100 against the Giants. They don't do a job on Perine this weekend. It's going to be tough to win the game.
It's going to be tough to win the game anywhere with any back that runs like that. But, you know, the Giants this week are, you know, got a lot of, Carl calls them flip card guys. They got to find a way to fill their gaps, stay in their lanes, and rally to the ball. That's the only chance they have of slowing this kid down.
Yeah, I agree with Howard with the flip card kids out there. It's like, here's your assignment. Just make run stopping a priority. All the trickery that you may see, don't worry. Just be in this gap. Because if they can stop the run or contain it, they'll have a chance here, but it's a lot of new faces out there.
Yeah, Paul, you sure we can't give you a helmet?
You can give me one, but I'm not sure I'm putting it on.
Paul, good stuff all year long going into a locker room. It's been tough with the kind of season, but we'll see you on the postgame show.
Absolutely. Happy New Year, guys.
Yeah, same to you. Paul Dottino inside the Giants locker room. Still to come in the program, Madeline Burke joins us with Madeline's Mailbox. This segment of the program is brought to you by Ticketmaster, the NFL Ticket Exchange, the only official ticket exchange of the NFL. Welcome back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. Still to come here on the program, we'll continue our look back at the 10-year anniversary of the Super Bowl 42 champion New York Giants and a big goal line stand in Washington early in that season. Eli Manning will join us in studios. The Giants get set to take on the Washington Redskins. Paul Schwartz goes one-on-one, an extra point with Howard Cross, and we'll look ahead to 2018. But now it's time to put item number 6 on the board, and we welcome in Madeline Burke, who's got one final check of the Madeline Mailbox.
Yes, in the final week of the season, our mailbox was pretty full this week, but our first question comes from Sal from Yonkers, who points out the Giants are 2-13 going into Sunday's game. He says, as a big fan of the Giants, what should I be looking for in this game on Sunday and going forward? Carl, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, look, I would say look to go forward. This game will feature a lot of players that you won't see, that you don't even recognize in the game. So I think the key is to look forward to the future.
Right, with 22 guys on IR, there's a lot of flip card guys in this one.
I agree with Carl. You're going to see a lot of guys out on the football field that, you know, you're going to want to know, who is this guy? Who is that guy? And you're going to see guys flying around on the football field, but you probably won't know. You probably have never heard of them. You probably will never hear of them again. But they're just filling a void right now.
Yeah, I think the most important thing, I think if you're Sal and Yonkers watching the game and any other Giants fan, you want to see maximum effort. You understand the limitations of the guys, but hustle, fight. And if you don't win, you don't win. If you win, you win. But at least give the maximum effort.
Sure. And leave it all on the field in the last game of the 2017 season. All right, our next question comes from EF, who says, Harry and Carl, this has been a tough year, and this team collectively has been knocked down. What makes the Giants Foundation strong enough to help these players get back on their feet? Both of you guys have been around this organization for quite some time. What do you think of that one?
There is a foundation that's here that is, again, we talk about Giant pride and Giant football. You might not necessarily see it out on Sunday, but I'm pretty sure that's going to be reestablished at some point during the offseason.
Well, and the beautiful part about this is for players, and Harry often talks about the legacy of Giants football. There are a lot of great players, but it's not great players without championships. There's a standard, a championship standard that you can point to these young players, and the foundation is you want Snacks to have a championship here. You want Landon Collins to have a championship here. You want Evan Engram. You want Odell Beckham. Those are the guys you say cling to this legacy of great play, but being a champion, and the rest of the guys will follow.
Definitely. Play like a Giant, play like a champion. I like that. All right, well, our final question this week comes from Jim, who asks, what parting words do you have for the team heading into the offseason as a way to inspire them?
You know, I've already shared with some of the players that I know, and that is get well, get on the right track. As soon as you're ready to, you know, start training hard to come back next football season, because you're going to see new coaches, you're going to see a new administration, and for you as a player, you have to go out there and reestablish yourself.
I'll just defer my time to the captain. I concur.
I would put up on a board for the players, I would put NFL. And we all know what it means, not for long. And here's why I would explain that. It would be, you could suffer a career-ending injury at any point. Look, Giants lost Odell Beckham Jr. for most of the season. It can go in an instant. So play, practice, and accept coaching, because it's not for long. Madeline, good stuff.
Thank you so much, and thank you to everyone who sent in your questions to Madeline's mailbox this season.
All right, Happy New Year to you, Madeline.
Happy New Year as well.
All right, time to put the next item up on the board. Item number 7. So in 2007, 10 years ago, The New York Giants traveled down to Washington to take on the Redskins. The Giants were 0-2. They needed this game. And in typical Giants fashion, Eli Manning leads a comeback. But the Giants need their defense to come up with a goal line stand. After a rocky start, losing their first two games of the 2007 season, the Giants headed to Washington, desperately needing a win against their division rivals. Clinging to a 7-point lead late in the game, with the Redskins threatening to score, the Giants' defense would be put to the ultimate test, a goal line stand.
I know it's only 3 weeks into the season, but our backs are against the wall.
And this is a divisional foe, and you can't take another step back. We knew going in we had to win.
The Giants' defense needed all hands on deck, and in the biggest moment, an unsung hero, Kavika Mitchell, would answer the call.
Second and goal at the one. Play fake. He's going to throw. He's going to roll right. Throw right, and it's incomplete, intended for Sellers, as Kavika Mitchell had coverage on him.
Kavika, nice job that time trailing him. He just reached around and knocked the football away.
The thing I remember most about the goal line stand was third down came. We stopped them.
Campbell. Handoff left for Betts, hit by Mitchell, and stopped short of the goal line. Kavika Mitchell with a big tackle.
No, God, Kavika Mitchell coming. That play, he's running power to the weak side, and guys, linebackers are shooting. Our D-line does a great job penetrating.
Redskins got a hustle. Fourth and goal at the one.
It was fourth down. The clock was running, and I remember Coach Coughlin looking at me and saying, Steve, do we need a timeout? And I said, Coach, I don't think so. They're a little bit messed up over there. Let's just let it go. So we kind of let it ride. They had to go to another play. I don't think they were prepared for it.
I'm a young cat, and I'm on the goal line. And I honestly knew the ball was coming to my side. I could just feel it. So I just made a real quick outside move to kind of set the edge.
Campbell gets his team set, takes the snap, handoff left for Betts, and he's stripped up and stopped short. Giants stopped him on fourth and goal, and they're going to win the ball game.
We stopped him, and it was game over, so it was huge.
The Giants may have saved their season with a stirring victory against their NFC East rivals, the Washington Redskins.
That play, I think, just set the tone for what the rest of the season is going to be like.
Goal line stand, part of a Giants tradition. And Carl, I want to focus in on you here because Kavika Mitchell makes a couple big plays there as an outside linebacker. You had a few of your own, mm-hmm. So did Harry, obviously. But the discipline, because we saw him first in coverage, then in run support, the responsibility of an outside linebacker in goal line.
When you're playing goal line, it's every piece has to be in place. And his ability to play the pass and the run was key, but knowing where he should be and where he fits on every play, a lot of times you'll see players just running, diving in piles. This guy knew exactly where he needed to be. Heck of an effort by him.
A great moment in Giants history as the Giants went on to win Super Bowl 42, but they needed that win against Washington, and they got it. Well, the quarterback of that football team was Eli Manning, and Eli will join us when we return here on Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks.
Lob one down the left side for Roger Lewis, who makes the catch. Did he get his feet in? Yes, touchdown Giants.
Welcome back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. I'm Bob Papa. After the taping of our show on Thursday, the Giants announced that they had a new general manager. Dave Gettleman comes home after spending the last 4 years with the Carolina Panthers. Gettleman was with the Giants from 1998 to 2012. It's time to continue with Giants First and 10. Time to put item number 8 up on the board, our spotlight. He's number 10, Eli Manning.
Manning's going to throw, rolls right, throws to the end zone, touchdown Giants! Throws one over the middle, he's got Shepard on the run, break free, 10-5, touchdown! Manning on a play fake, rolls right, wide open in the end zone, touchdown Giants! Looks, throws it into the end zone, touchdown Ingram, right over the head of Eric Reed.
Eli just throws a dime.
Looks right now, Eli is going to run. Eli to the 5, he dives in, touchdown Giants! Eli Manning! Manning takes the shotgun snap, lobs one down the left side for Roger Lewis, who makes the catch. Did he get his feet in? Yes, touchdown Giants! Eli takes
snap. They pick up the blitz. He lobs one right. King wide open. Touchdown, Giants. With Eli Manning's last completion, he passed John Elway for sixth in all-time yardage in the NFL.
Eli Manning is obviously climbing up all the record books and climbs into a chair and joins us here in the studio here on Giants First and Ten. When you look at all those highlights from this year, do you think about what could have been, considering all the guys that you don't have now that you started the year with?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there were some good games. There were some games where we did some things well. Especially early in the season, I thought after the first two games, kind of those weeks three and four or five, we were scoring some points offensively. We were finding our rhythm. We had Odell. We had Brandon Marshall. Had Sterling. Had Evan was getting introduced. We kind of had our weapons going a little bit. And we just lost some heartbreakers, last second field goals, and then after that, we lost our four top receivers and had to make some changes. But that's just football. It can just be tough years where you got to find ways to win those close games, those tight games. We weren't doing that, and then after that, we just had to scramble to try to figure out how we can compete and keep some games close and hopefully make some plays.
And you talk about, it's just football, and football can deal you some rough hands. Have you had a hand like this before? And obviously, you're in it to win it.
Right.
But realistically, looking at, like, wow, this is tough. Like, right. have you gotten out of bed and said, yeah, okay, or walked in the door and here's a group of flip card kids that you never met before? We got these guys this week. Are you saying, well, boy, this is?
This definitely has been the toughest year of football in my life, just with everything. But each day you kind of look at it as a challenge. I remember going to Denver on Sunday night. We lost all our guys. We lost some linemen. I mean, we got a makeshift group, trying to figure out a game plan and go and beat a team that was playing good football at the time and ran the ball and said, hey, we're going to just run it, try to make some third downs and just slow the game down. And we found a way. So after that, you're kind of, hey, maybe we can just figure out each week. It's going to be a little different. We can figure out how to get some wins. But, it just got tough. We, kept some games close in the fourth quarter. We just didn't have the firepower to make things up when we got a little down.
Do guys come talk to you on the side? Do they say, like, hey, what are we doing now? Or do you just, like, kind of go every day and just work hard?
Yeah, I think you just show up every day to work hard. Be excited, be enthusiastic about the plan, about, we got some new receivers. Hey, you got to pump them up. Hey, we're gonna run these plays. Hey, we get this matchup versus corner, we're going to throw a go route. Or, hey, we're going to hit them with a slant. It's different. Everybody's in different stages. You know, a guy who's in his 14th year and having a tough year, mm-hmm. It can be different for me than a guy in his second year. He's trying to make a team. He's playing football. He's excited about the opportunity to play. And yep. So I have to take over that role also. I got to be excited for this guy to go out there and a chance for him to make a name for himself. And he's got a chance in the play where maybe if we had all our receivers, had all our guys, he wouldn't be. So, try to give him a great opportunity to make a name for himself.
We appreciate you stopping by, Eli. Thanks for all the great memories.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
People are watching right now going, they're watching one of these reruns like late at night. I mean, he's got a meeting at 1:30
a.m. Yeah, exactly.
We do tape this show. We're going to take a timeout when we come back. Howard Cross goes one-on-one with Paul Schwartz, an extra point, as we continue with Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop.
I think we have a huge responsibility with the platform we have to really reach out to people in all walks of life. And, I personally have a passion for kids and dealing with kids.
C-D-E-D.
People want to be around athletes, want to see what we have to say, and I want to be one of the guys that give them something that they can really take.
Good job, good job.
Time for Stats Plus, brought to you by Cash for Life from the New York Lottery. You can win $1,000 a day for life. 216. Eli Manning will play in his 216th game as a Giant in the regular season. That will tie Hall of Famer Michael Strahan for the most ever in a Giants uniform. The number 8. There have been 8 quarterbacks this year to throw for 400 or more yards. Eli Manning is one of those 8, having thrown for 434 yards against the Philadelphia Eagles. The number 5. Eli Manning is one of 5 quarterbacks in the history of the game to win multiple Super Bowl MVPs. As we welcome you back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks. Time to put item number 9 up on the board. We call this Extra Point. We welcome in Paul Schwartz of the New York Post. And Paul Davis Webb finally gets elevated to the number 2 quarterback position. Do you think he might get a chance to play?
It's funny. I asked him, I said, are you excited about getting a uniform? You think of a kid, right? A kid gets on a team, he gets his uniform. He said, you know, I am. I actually am excited to wear a uniform on game day. I don't think he'll play unless it's a route one way or another, but look, it's something, right, Howard?
You got to wonder if the team, as they're looking at Webb, how far along do they want him to be in this process with no one out there that can catch the ball, no protection, what's going to happen? What is it going to do for him, plus or minus? This week they're elevating him to, you know, backup. If it's a blowout either direction, he's going to get in the game. And we're going to find out, or he's going to find out, what it's like to play when there's not a lot of tools out there.
One of the bright spots for this season has been the Giants' first-round draft pick, Evan Engram. How impressive has this season been?
You know, I've talked, you know, before on this show about Evan Engram. I mean, on the field, I'm very impressed with him. I mean, he catches the ball. Look, is he the blocker that you were? No, he wasn't drafted for that. You know, that's not his body type. It's not who he is. But he tries. And more impressively to me is how he is in the locker room. He is a gamer. He's a tough guy. He wants to play this week with a bad rib. He could easily say, look, I'm shutting it down. He wants to play. And he talked about learning about maturity from other guys in the locker room. You know what? You didn't learn maturity from these guys. You came in here with maturity. He's been one of the most mature rookies I've seen in years.
It's a great evaluation about the scouting department on this kid. First of all, it's not hard to evaluate somebody who runs that fast and catches the ball, but you know, the person that he is makes him a throwback kind of football player. And I'll argue with you, he is a good blocker. He actually gets in there and, you know, a lot of times a point of attack, and he's making plays. He does it in motion also. Every once in a while he might get knocked back, but he's knocking guys back more often than he's getting knocked back.
So the Giant defense at the end of last season was trending as one of the best defenses in the NFL. What happened?
A couple of things. I think unquestionably they came into this season thinking they were better than what they were. They were thinking, we're going to hit the ground running. We were second in the league in scoring last year. We got it. We got this. It's the same team. We got this. And they didn't have it. Guys got hurt. Janoris Jenkins played almost all year with a bad ankle till he got hurt, till he was out. You know, there's been a myriad of things. JPP has not had a great year. He's been banged up. Olivier Vernon has not had a great year. Let's just look at the season opener, right? B.J. Goodson has 18 tackles in the first game and then basically doesn't play the rest of the year. He missed, eight, nine games. So there's a lot of things, but I think it started with too much up here, thinking they're too good, and then things just deteriorated from there.
Once you win 11 games, all of a sudden you're thrust into the front lines and you got to play against the better talent. All of a sudden when you're playing the better quarterbacks week in and week out, it looks different to you. No matter what you think or what you feel, guys can put them in the right position, get the right plays, and you got to play against that. So when you come into the league thinking like, hey, we got this, you don't really realize that you haven't played against the best guys all year long.
And tackling was an issue from the beginning, and it carried through the season. Is there a big difference between having the second overall pick and the third overall pick?
I think there is, yeah. I mean, I think the one guy could be a franchise quarterback, one guy could be a franchise left tackle, or one guy could be a bust quarterback and a bust left tackle. You don't know. The higher up, the better.
There's not, this year, unfortunately, or fortunately, there's not a big difference.
Oh,
this is the reason why it's not a big difference. The second guy who picks is either going to be the Giants or it's going to be Indy. Indy doesn't need a quarterback. So now you get to pick between quarterback, offensive lineman, running back, linebacker. You can pick anybody you want because Indy doesn't need it.
Somebody could trade up. When you're at 2, it's going to be hard not to get a guy you want. Okay. At number 3, in a draft where you say there's only 2 quarterbacks, you could miss out.
Paul, we appreciate all of your efforts this year, and Happy New Year to you.
Same to you. Thanks.
Paul Schwartz of the New York Post joining us here on Extra Point. When we come back, we'll spin ahead and look to 2018 as we continue with Giants First and 10 presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New York Giants. All right, I feel like we need a drum roll here because we shifted the order. So the captain wants to talk about the Legacy Club. Yeah, and then you got to deal with Ryan Kerrigan this week.
Yeah, he's another Where's Waldo. Know where 91 is all the time. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you sure we can't give you a helmet?
You can give me one, but I'm not sure I'm putting it on.
That was the Geico Show recap. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. As we welcome you back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. Final segment of the year. Item number 10 goes up on the board. 2018, a look ahead, and Harry, obviously there's a lot of changes coming with this franchise. You need a new head coach.
This record for this team has never been this bad. I've never seen it this bad. So, quite frankly, whatever they do, it won't surprise me. I'm just going to wait and see how everything sort of shakes out.
Carl, you know, a good personnel guy can find personnel for whoever the coach is, right?
Sure.
And it's interesting because if you take a look around the NFL right now and the amount of coaches that might get let go on Monday.
What ownership should hear from a coach is what their philosophy is. And you say, I like his philosophy as a coach. He's hired.
The great thing about a coach is when you say guys are going to be released as coaches, there'll be a lot of top guys that can come in with great offensive systems, great defensive systems, and great teachers of the game.
You know, another thing to note also that if you get a coach now, you can also get good assistant coaches, and you get your pick of those. Mm-hmm.
What is the most important thing for this new team that comes in that they have to understand?
Bob, you know, it's I am really at a loss because, as I said, we've never been in this position before.
It's almost like, though, what you said at the beginning of the show, legacy, understanding what this is all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the one thing that this team needs now more than anything else is a sense of discipline. I think back in the 70s when John McVay was fired, they brought in Ray Perkins. And what Ray Perkins did was he reinstilled a sense of discipline within the team, which that team really needed. And that team went on to be coached by Parcells and win a championship. Had it not been for that sense of discipline being reinstilled in the team, I don't know if we would have won our first Super Bowl. I don't know if Carl Banks would have been here, but discipline really means a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you guys played under it. We saw Coach Coughlin when he came in bring it. It seems to be a pretty good recipe.
It is. And, again, it's all about accountability, but that comes with discipline, too. Doing your job, being accountable to your teammates, and doing your job well and caring.
I think there's one thing that we all have to think about is going to be a little patience. I don't think you rebuild a whole group of guys and get enough players in here in one season. I think it's going to take a couple seasons to get enough bodies to do this. You can do it in free agency, you can do it through the draft, but when we look at this game with the Redskins, you're going to look at a lot of guys that won't be on the team next year. So with that many guys, 20 or 30 guys that may not be with the team, that you can't just replace them all overnight.
All right, fellas, it has been an honor once again. Another season in the books working with all three of you.
Thank you, sir.
Guys, have a happy new year.
Happy new year.
Happy new year.
A lot of fun and looking forward to doing it again next year. So for Harry Carson, Carl Banks, Howard Cross, Madeline Burke, Paul Dottino, and our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for joining us for this edition, the final edition of Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks.